Teachers Talking Tech is a podcast by teachers for teachers. The podcast is fully funded by us, Mike and Eric, and we are not sponsored by anyone. So you know that when we share something, we believe that it is good for students and good for teachers. If you like what you hear, take a moment and donate through PayPal to brown145@yahoo.com. We appreciate your support.
Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
And today we're going to talk about one of the hottest apps going around, which is Flipgrid.
Yeah, we went to McCall last week, and that's the Michigan Association of Computer Users and Learners Conference, huge conference, and a ton of people talking about Flipgrid and how they're using it. So
yeah,
we had to check it out.
We did. I mean, I have not used this app, and I keep hearing about it, and like I see this hashtag Flipgrid fever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, oh, this must be really cool because a lot of people are using it. But you know how it is. Sometimes you're like, yeah, I feel like I'm doing fine. But I also like to check out some of these things because, they always change the way that my classroom functions. You know, you start using these tools and you're like, oh, this is why everybody loves this.
For sure. And, you know, a lot of times, especially with our younger learners, we've been using something the whole year and they're good at it and they like it, but, you know, they kind of get bored of it.
They do.
So if you can do a similar thing in a different way, re-spark their energy in it.
I agree.
And interest in it.
Yeah, there's nothing like something new to kind of get them all excited again.
And yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes as teachers, we need that new spark as well.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so I interviewed someone that I met at our ADE conference. It was the Apple Distinguished Educators Conference this summer, named Holly Mecker. And she teaches fourth grade.
Fourth or fifth?
Is it fifth?
Oh, you told me fifth.
I think it's fifth. I don't know.
Okay.
Listen, you remembered what McCall stands for. I'm really impressed by that.
It's because I have it tattooed on my arm.
Oh, good. So sorry, Holly. But yeah, fifth grade. Yeah, I think it's fifth grade. But anyway, I've seen her tweet out some of the ways she uses Flipgrid, and I was like, okay, I need to give her a holler and ask her about Flipgrid. So here is our interview with Holly Mecker. All right, I am here with Holly Mecker. She's a fifth grade teacher from Crane Schools in Yuma, Arizona, and she's part of the 2017 class of Apple Distinguished Educators, and she is joining us today to talk about Flipgrid. Hi, Holly, how are you?
Hi, I am so good. How are you?
Doing well. I met Holly this summer at a conference for Apple, and it was fantastic. She does a lot of innovative things in her class, and Holly, you came to mind when I thought about Flipgrid. I really don't know too much about it, and I'd seen you post a couple things to Twitter, and I was like, I need to talk to Holly about how she uses this because I think a lot of people are interested in it.
Yeah, it's a really powerful tool that I think all teachers should be using in the classroom.
So why don't you start by telling us, like, what is Flipgrid? If somebody's never seen it before, how would you explain it to them?
So Flipgrid is essentially a message board where teachers can pose a question and then their students can reply with a video response. It kind of appears in like a grid display, and so it really piques students' interest because it looks a lot like social media. There's a few different accounts. So if you have a free account, teachers can create one grid with unlimited topics within a grid, and students can reply with 90-second video responses. If you have a classroom account, and then I think that's where all the magic really happens, teachers can create unlimited grids with unlimited topics for students, and then students can reply with longer video responses, so they're not stuck to that 90 seconds. The magical part about having the classroom account is that students can leave video responses to other students. So you really have a lot of back and forth student discussion through these video responses, which can happen in a classroom, it can happen across the school, and it can happen globally. So you're not stuck within your own classroom.
All right, so if I'm trying to picture this in my head, so I'm picturing a grid like at the beginning of Brady Bunch or something like that, like where everybody can see all these.
It's like three across and as many down as they go.
Okay, and so you can, with a free account, create an unlimited number of topics within a grid, what would be yes. the advantage of creating multiple grids? Like, why would I want to pay for it, or why would I want multiple grids?
So I use a different grid for a different subject. So I have one that's all about human rights, and then I have another grid that's all about our math topics. And so within my math topics grid, maybe I'll have today's number talk, and I'll have a solve the incorrect problem topic. And so you'll have multiple topics within each one. And it really helps students keep their grids organized and know where to go to find different grids. So they can go back to them and access them again. We had the free account for maybe about 3 months, and we used it just fine. And we would delete the old topics that weren't using anymore, or students weren't going back to, just to kind of keep it simple. But we definitely used one grid for a long time, and we did just fine. So it's an extremely simple process. You can do it within just a few minutes. So you can create your new grid, or if you only have one grid, you can go into your grid and you just create a new topic. You have to give it a title. You add a question to your students and then decide how long of a response you want your students to have. You can also add other things, like you can add an image, or you can add your own video of introducing the topic or the question to your students. And then you can also include an external link to the topic. So if you want to link them to a Google Doc, you want to link them to an article to read, you can put all of that right there in your topic. And then you simply just push create topic, and it posts out to your grid. Once you've done that, you have a grid code that you can give your students, and all they have to do is go into there. It's either an app program, or they can do it on the website, and they just type in your grid code, and it takes them straight to your grid. It doesn't require a sign-in process. They don't have to be linked to Google. They don't have to enter an email. They just have to have your grid code.
So I created a grid. I have the free version. It was really simple. The one thing to remember is that you have to be on a laptop, Chromebook, some kind of a web-based device in order to create a grid. The iPad app really will only let you do what the student does, which we'll get into next with her.
So the iPad app is really for the student device.
Yeah, okay. To respond, yep. So it only takes a few minutes to create a grid. So with the free version, just to clarify, you can have one grid, but within that grid, you can have multiple topics. So I could have a grid called Mr. Robinson's Class. And then within that grid, I could say, like, hey, respond to the math thing today. Hey, respond to this, respond to that. The nice thing about having multiple grids is you could have one called math, reading, writing. And when your kids get onto the app, once they've, like, logged into that grid one time, then they can go back to it and not have to log in again.
Gotcha.
And the login is super simple. You just put in a code. And it's a short code. Once your kids get in there, that next time they log in, it'll automatically say, Mr. Robinson's Class. They tap on that, and it has all your stuff that's active right there for them.
Gotcha. So the power of the paid version is multiple grids for single subjects. So yes. I've got math, and then I've got my topic place value. I've got my topic addition, my
yes.
topic subtraction.
Exactly.
Whereas if I have the free version, I've got my class, and I might have math. But then it might have to be math subtraction, math addition.
Yeah.
Math. Okay.
It's a little hard to organize.
Gotcha.
There are some other things that come along with the paid version, but that would be the main thing.
Makes sense.
The other one we'll get into later is about student responses, but that is the main thing. So what I asked about next with Holly was, okay, so I've created this grid. What do you do with it? Like, what do your kids do with it? How do they respond? How does that all work? So here's what she said.
So when we watch it, I usually give them something to look for. So if we are doing a math number talk, they're maybe watching the other student's mental process and trying to decide, do I agree with how they solve this process, or do I relate, or do I have a way I can connect with the student and how they solve their problem? I, as a teacher, I'm always looking for students to be explaining their reasoning and to get me into their brain so that I can see what they're thinking. That's one of the beauties of Flipgrid, is that you can really dive into what students are thinking instead of just having a written response down for you or a number. It allows you to really get into kids' brains.
Well, and I would think, too, that not only can kids tell you and show more of what they know when they are talking in a video in some cases, but it really opens it up to where they're not just talking to the teacher, they're talking to other students in their class because they know they'll get responses, which can be really valuable.
Absolutely. And like I said earlier, you can share this among schools. So we had a grid that was for our entire school for Principal's Week. And so we all created videos about what we love about our principal, and then we shared it with her. There was last week was Read Across America Week, and there was a grid that they used across the country for Read Across America. And so you could go and look at these responses that students were doing over in Alabama or up in Maine, reflecting on their favorite books that they read as a kid and are reading growing up. So it can be a really powerful, authentic audience for our students because they know that not just their teacher is going to watch this, because when they post to me, they're like, I don't really care. You know, she knows how well I can do. But if another student's going to watch it, they're like, oh, well, I need to make sure that this is good enough to publish for the world. So it really opens up that audience for our students.
So when students or the teacher responds to a video, do you do it with more video or do you type? What does the response look like?
When you, with the classroom account, you do it with video. I want to say that with the Flipgrid one account, when you only have the one grid, I believe it's just a typed response. It's been a while since I only had the one, and so I can't really remember that off the top of my head, but I know with classroom, we all respond via video. So you watch their video, then you respond to them with your own video back.
Okay, that's really cool.
It's fantastic.
So what are some ways that you use this in your class? Like, obviously, you just brought up Read Across America, but let's take a couple subjects and just tell us a couple ways that you would use it.
Sure. This week alone, we used it first in writing. And so I was having students write a race response to a prompt about the Olympics, and then they would record their race response and other students would evaluate. So instead of having me evaluate all the students' work, I was having students evaluate each other's work and see ways that they could grow in their writing, things that they've done well in their writing. And so they each gave each other a glow and a grow, somewhere where they could get better, and then something that they did fantastic in their writing. We used it in math. We had students solve a problem incorrectly on the topic. And so they solved the problem, and the other students had to watch that video and then pick out where they made their mistake and then critique them on how they could solve the problem correctly the next time.
Oh, nice.
And then, yeah, that's one of our favorite ways to use it in math so far. The kids really got a kick out of being able to solve a problem wrong. Because the greatest part for teachers about that is to solve a problem wrong, you first have to know how to solve the problem correctly. They have to know the correct way to do it so that they can do it incorrectly. So it really deepens the thinking for our students in math. We use it a lot also. And then our younger students, so my students are pretty fluent in reading, but our younger students will use it and they'll read to themselves on Flipgrid so they can work on that fluency, and hearing themselves reading is really powerful so they can hear if they're making mistakes and they can hear what they sound like as a reader.
Yeah, those are great ideas. And I would think, too, that a lot of teachers would like to use this for exit slips, where you could, you know, just pose a question at the end of a lesson or something like that and have your kids do a video response on their way out the, you know, out the door to recess or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. The ways that I mentioned are more scripted, so they have to really think about what they're going to say. But it doesn't have to be that way. It can be you have a minute, do your Flipgrid response about what you three things that you've learned today and one thing that you're still struggling with, and then it could be out the door. It can be super simple like that. And you can actually make it so that other students cannot see their responses. So you can turn that option off so that it can be a private one-on-one conversation with a teacher if that's what you want it to be. So if you want to be like, tell me one thing that is going really well in the classroom and one thing that might be bothering you. And so if you want that to be a private communication, you can make it that way.
Oh, wow. That's great. I didn't realize you could do that, because there are definitely times where you would want the whole class involved in the conversation, and there's other times where it might be a little too personal, or it might be something where the rest of the class doesn't need to see it, just a little quick assessment or something like that.
Right. Sometimes I will have the moderation be off, and so they all come to me first, so they're not watching each other's videos to get the answer that they think I'm looking for, and then I'll turn it back on afterwards so that then all their videos go out, and so then we can look at each other's work without the fear of, I don't want to be the first to post because then everyone's just going to watch mine and say what I say. So if you have, when we first started, that's where we started off, because students were nervous to share their own ideas. They really just like to hear what other people said first and then share those ideas. So we turn that off and then we turn it back on again.
Yeah, that's
respond.
That was similar with Seesaw when we first started using that, and you know it's similar in that you know kids would post and other kids can see their work or see what they did. And at first, especially with video, some of my kids that were a little more tentative, they were really nervous about sharing their ideas out with everybody. And then after we used it for a while, they were fine.
Mm-hmm. I still have a few students who are like, do I have to show my face? Is there a way I can get around not showing my face in my video? So we're still working on that. I'm in fifth grade. So sometimes we don't like doing that, but we are working on that.
Well, and it's one of those things where you don't always want to use Flipgrid. You don't always want to use paper pencil assessments. You don't, you know, if you,
right.
If you mix it up, I think that'll do the trick.
Yes.
So let's go from that into like someone like me, who I've looked at Flipgrid, I've never used it in my classroom. What's a great way just to get started? Like maybe a simple activity to get your feet wet and get started with it.
So I would do one of the simple responses like we talked about, almost like an exit slip where students don't have to script out what they're going to say. I also think that all teachers should start with a classroom account. And something that's really great about that, I say that with knowing that people have to pay for it, but it is very affordable to pay for. But you can also find Flipgrid ambassadors, and they have promo codes that can give you 45 days free of the classroom account. So if you're going to try it and see if you love it, I would get started instantly with a classroom account. Find someone on Twitter who has a promo account and use that and get 45 free days so you can get the video response back from your other students so you can see how powerful it can be. But I would definitely start with one of those exit slips. Maybe asking students again the three things that they learned in class today and then one thing that they're still struggling with. You can see how fast if you give every student 30 seconds and you can watch that on your own time. You can be on the couch watching TV and have those videos rolling so you can hear what they're struggling with and you don't have to ask each child individually where they need extra help. It's right there for you.
Yeah, I love those tips. And I like, too, the idea of starting with the paid account and having like a month and a half to see what's, you know, fully available rather than oftentimes with other apps like Book Creator comes to mind. They have a free version and some teachers do the free version and then they just don't quite get enough out of it. Where if you do that paid version, you can see how well it works. I really can see how that could get you into it. So.
Yeah, the magic is really made in the classroom account. It made a world of a difference. I used it pretty regularly with the Flipgrid one, but once I made that change, I'll never go back. And it's $60 for a year. Most schools can find a way to fund out $60 for a year for a classroom. So, and it's only $1,000 for an entire school, a K-12 school for a year. So it is a very affordable program if your district is looking to purchase.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today, Holly. You gave me a ton of great tips. I hope that our listeners as well got some good tips from you. What's your Twitter handle so people could follow you?
I'm at Holly Mecher, HollyMecher.
Well, it was great talking to Holly. She gave me a ton of ideas. And since that interview, I actually started using Flipgrid with my class.
Mm-hmm. And how's it going?
They love it, man. It's so simple. There's things in it that draw kids in, like there's little stickers, like after you record your video, then it will ask you to take a selfie, right? And that's what you see when all these kids are responding, you see their pictures show up in the grid.
Okay.
And so for the selfie, they're able to kind of ham it up a little bit, and they can add little stickers, like sunglasses over their face,
right.
Hats, and rainbows. And you do have to tell them a little bit, like, okay, you can't mess with that stuff for, like, 20 minutes.
Right.
But it is kind of fun, and it makes other kids really want to watch their videos.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, like, a drawing tool. They can, like, draw things around themselves, too. So it's kind of creative.
Okay.
And my kids loved it. Today, we did a leprechaun question. I asked them, okay, so, you know, some people say if you trap a leprechaun, you get gold.
Right.
How do you feel about that? Do you think leprechauns should be trapped? And it was really funny. Like, half my kids were like, no, if you ask them nicely, they'd probably give you more gold. And the other half were like, yeah, they'll give you gold.
Innocent children.
Yeah, exactly. it was awesome because I did not moderate it. So what that means is, like, as they're responding, videos are just popping up right away. So when my kids would finish, you have a built-in kind of, what do I do when I'm done? You watch other people's videos.
Yeah, you see. You and know, it's not just watching videos in general. They're watching on-topic videos from their peers.
They are.
It's just like a classroom discussion.
It is. And, you know, I learned this at McCall. This is amazing to me. The most used search engine in the world is now YouTube.
Yeah, I saw that,
it's
too.
It's not
that
Google.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about how kids are learning, video is the way, you know?
It's... Right. I just did it today. I was trying to figure out how if I can take, and I didn't figure it out yet, by the way. I was trying to figure out if I could take my GarageBand music that I created in GarageBand and export it to put it into a Clips video.
Oh,
and I was watching this video on YouTube, and I saw how I could do it on my Mac, but I haven't figured out how to do it on my iPad yet.
Okay.
So that's what I got to keep finding new video. But yeah, it's all out there.
It is.
And that's where kids are learning.
It really is. And like my parents' generation especially, and I'm kind of right on the edge of it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That like my parents, if I was like, hey, go learn how to play guitar, they would go to a guitar store and buy a book.
Yep.
Like
and signed you up for some lessons.
Yeah, and do lessons where everybody else is like, oh, just go to YouTube, go find it here. You know,
absolutely.
It's amazing. So I like giving kids the opportunity to teach using video too, because it's what they know. I love how this app is so open-ended too. Like I could ask kids a question like that about leprechauns. I could do it where I use it as an exit ticket where they respond to something. And for that, I would moderate it so they wouldn't see each other's videos pop up right away.
Right, you know? Because you're using it almost as a formative
assessment. Yeah. Yeah, that way they're not saying, I already heard what so-and-so said, and I'm going to copy it.
Right.
So it gives you a little bit of that flexibility. The one thing I will warn people about is with privacy. So this app is really made to be a collaborative app that connects people. So you can share out your grid or responses from your grid, like via Seesaw, but parents, after they watch that child's video, they can easily go back to your grid and see all the responses. So keep that in mind if you're going to share this. I am using it right now just strictly in my classroom for classroom responses, I don't know if there's any plans in the future for them to change that, but as of right now, there's not. So just beware if you're sharing this via social media or anything like that. There's really not a great way to keep it private once you shared it.
It's good to know. Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this interview with Holly Mecker. I want to thank her again. It was so fun talking to her. And I hope all of you start checking out Flipgrid and love it as much as I do. All right. This is Eric Robinson.
Hey, before I say that, this is Mike Brown. There are a few of you out there that listen, which is amazing to us, that we met this past week at McCall. And that was just really humbling for us, I would say.
Yeah.
To meet people that are out there that are listening to this podcast, that are getting something out of it. So we appreciate all of you. Thank you.
Yeah. And to add to that, you know what? Even if you don't have a chance to meet us in person, we'd love to hear from you. You know, go to our Facebook page, go to YouTube, whatever, however you can share with us. We'd love to hear from you and how you're liking the show. All right. Well, thanks for the listen. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
See ya. We'll be right back.